It is the metal which has been tempered in the fire that is strong, and it is the Christian who has endured the testings of life who is mature. Why does the athlete drive himself in running, lifting weights, increasing his powers of endurance, and practicing the skills demanded by his game? Well, he wants to increase his effectiveness as a player, of course. The more he works out, the more proficient he becomes. He increases strength and skill by pressing on. Well, just so, the Christian can find increased strength through his experiences of discouragement. It is the metal which has been tempered in the fire that is strong, and it is the Christian who has endured the testings of life who is mature. But discouragement does not always work out for good in our lives. It might result in doubts about God, desertion from one's task, anger toward one's associates, or outright rebellion against life. On the other hand, it can produce the exact opposite virtues in the person who is tried. Now, how can a person make sure his discouragements work out for good rather than for evil? Well, here are three guidelines based on 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 18. Now, space does not permit our reproducing the text in full here, but I encourage you to take your Bible and to read it thoughtfully. Then review these guidelines with me. First, if you would be strong in discouragement, keep your motives pure. Ask yourself often, what are my goals in life? Why does this situation make me discouraged? Are my eyes set on the glory of God and the good of those I love? Or are they set on my personal reputation and advantage? Now, Paul sets the standard in our text when he writes, I renounced and I disowned any underhanded and disgraceful ways which would make me feel ashamed. I refuse to use trickery or dishonest manipulation. I state the truth openly as in the sight of God, and I'm open for the honest judgment of my fellow man. You see, much of the discouragement we face is because we are personally thwarted and humbled. Pure motives are set on the glory of God and the good of other people. So if you would keep your motives pure, not trying to promote selfish interest, much of your discouragement will pass away. You will have strength to go on. So a good question to ask yourself often is, what on earth am I doing for heaven's sake? That catchy little question will make you examine your motives and will make them quite clear to you. But secondly, if you would be strong in discouragements, keep an unselfish spirit. Do not live for yourself, but for God and for other people. And that will deliver you from the strain of self-seeking. Now, a spirit of this nature, the unselfish spirit, involves four things for the Christian. First, the Christian must be a witness for Christ and a servant to people. So Paul wrote in our text, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now that takes away the sense of self-importance and makes us servants of those whom God loves because we're committed to serving and pleasing Him. So are you a faithful servant of Jesus Christ? But again, the Christian must understand his own infirmity if he would be unselfish. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, Paul writes, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now the gospel is committed to us like molten gold is poured into an earthenware jar. It is a priceless treasure in a fragile container. If we remember our own infirmity and the value of our message of Jesus, we will not grow discouraged when things do not go our way. The Christian is a representative of Jesus Christ. God has flooded our hearts with the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He did it not that we may be enlightened, but that we may be a light to others. So we Christians shine as lights in a world that is darkened by sin. Our greatest ministry is to represent Jesus faithfully and to bear witness of His gospel to poor and fallen sinners. Now think of what our Lord endured in His earthly ministry, and it will keep you from discouragement when you are called upon to endure disappointments, trials, and even betrayals. The Christian is to be an agent of blessings. It is we who are delivered to death in order that the life of Christ Himself might be shown in us, according to our text. If He blessed all mankind through His suffering on the cross, why should we grow discouraged and give up when we're called upon to suffer? By bearing one another's burdens, we can relieve His load and we can reflect the Spirit of Jesus. Selfishness and self-centered interest are a direct contradiction to the Spirit of Jesus. He did not grow discouraged and disheartened because He came not to be served, but in order to serve. Now, when you grow disheartened, ask yourself, whose interests are you serving? Win over discouragement by keeping an unselfish spirit. But again, if you would be strong in discouragement, keep your eyes on the reward. Why was Moses willing to leave the palace of Pharaoh and be identified with the Hebrew slaves in Egypt? Why was he a vagabond in the desert? Why did he assume the responsibility to lead a nation out of their bondage into liberty in a distant land? Well, the Bible answers, he looked steadily at the ultimate, not the immediate, reward. So I suggest that you look at the ultimate reward of faithfulness when you're challenged by discouragement. We do not give up hope, not even when our physical circumstances are wasted away. Afflictions come, but they are light afflictions of short-lived duration. A better day is coming when there will be full reward for all the troubles that are suffered here. Some reject such a thought with the statement, that's just pie in the sky by and by. But no, it is sure and it is certain. Look with the eyes of faith. Look at the things which cannot be seen with the natural eye. The things which you can see are transient, temporary, here only for a season. But the Bible reminds us over and again that the world passes away and all that is in it passes, and that which is real endures. There are things which cannot be seen with the natural eye, but which are as real as the material things of earth. Those presently unseen things are imperishable, permanent. They endure forever. Think about that. Faith is what makes us certain of those realities we do not see. Looking at material things only, one may well be swallowed up in discouragement. Things around us are decaying and perishing. Nothing is truly permanent. But look at the things which are spiritual and you get a different picture. All the world may pass away, but he who trusts and serves God will live forever. So keep your eyes on the reward that God has promised to His faithful children. It is better farther on. God has promised it, and God has prepared for it. You will never be put to shame if you keep on trusting and serving Him. He will deliver you from your discouragement, for he who believes on Him shall never be ashamed. And so, our Father, understanding this truth of Holy Scripture, we resolve to keep our motives pure, to keep our spirits unselfish, and to keep our eyes on the reward. We look to you to strengthen our hope and encourage our heart, and to give us victory over our discouragements. In Jesus' name, amen.